Dramatized Audio Bible is at the online store at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. There are many ways to become a saint. One way is the little way perfected by St. Therese of Lisieux. Today's story is about Rose Prince, who, like St. Therese, had a hidden life of prayer. She died in 1949, and when her coffin was opened, her body was found to be incorrupt. Stay tuned for the life of little Rose Prince on another Stories from the Heart. Was born in 1915 in a small house on a hill in the Carrier First Nation and behind the convent near Fort James. Her father, Jean-Marie, was the son of Chief Joseph, chief of the Carrier Nation at Fort St. James. He was a devout Catholic and went frequently to church, leading prayers and singings in the church, and translated for the parish priest. He was known as the church chief. Jean-Marie and Agatha, Rose's mother, went through school together at the Williams Lake Residential School for First Nations children. Her mother was a woman of great simplicity and self-effacement and had a strong Catholic faith. She would bequeath the qualities of kindness and gentle nature abundantly to her daughter. Her parents returned to Fort St. James to live. It was there that nine children were born to them. Rose was the third of the nine children. With her brothers and sisters, she went to the La Jacques Native Residential School in the interior of British Columbia. She was a quiet and unassuming student. She was a child of deep faith and an outstanding love for God. Rose had many artistic abilities. She spent hours collecting and examining flowers and then painting them in great detail on altar cloths and tabernacle veils. She was able to paint even the most intricate details of tiny wildflowers. Rose always sang, celebrating life. She was heard humming and singing as she went about her chores or while she sat working on her many projects. Her fingers were always occupied. She would create simple paintings and did intricate beadwork on buckskin, the ancient work of her people. Special friends and teachers received hand-painted cards with personalized verses for birthdays and special occasions. Rose had an avid love of religious art. She gave away many of her small paintings to children, family members and staff, to the sick, and to anyone who admired her work. Rose's life was a hidden life, spent in complete devotion to Jesus and to others. The sisters loved her and she loved them. In fact, everyone loved her, but few considered her sanctity to be extraordinary. In 1931, when Rose was 17 years old and at school at La Jacques, her mother died from influenza while out on the trap line. Her death was almost unbearable to the young Rose. In the only visit she made home after her mother's death, she spent long hours at her grave. After that, she did not want to leave the school. Selena John, a childhood companion and cousin, asked her why she never went home, even during the summer holidays, with her younger brothers and sisters. Rose kept silently going on her work. Then finally she looked up and smiled. "I've got my parents in here." Her companion didn't understand what she meant and thought she meant the sisters. Selena then asked her who they were, and she answered, "Our Blessed Mother and her son Jesus. They are my parents. I feel so close to them here. I don't want to go out, and I have no intention of leaving." When it did come time for her to leave the school, she begged to be allowed to stay on as a worker. She wanted to be where she could continue to live a life of quiet contemplation in the place that had become her home. She was hired to do a variety of tasks, which were secretarial, sewing and mending the priest's clothing, embroidering altar linen, cleaning and working in the chapel. To a friend, she admitted that it was better for her to live in a quiet place where she would have privacy, peace, and the freedom to pray and to be who she was. Now, Rose had curvature of the spine, and because of that, she was misshapen on one side of her back. This came from a childhood fall that left her seriously disabled. The pain made it difficult for her to get around, and very difficult for her to kneel. The sisters who taught her at school remember she was self-conscious of this deformity, but because of her shyness, she did not like to bring attention to herself, and little is known of how much her disability affected her. She would never complain, and few knew how she felt. She was especially thankful to the girls who would sometimes bring her lunch upstairs in the sewing room, knowing her deformity made it difficult to go downstairs to the dining room. Despite the pain she experienced when she knelt, Rose would spend time in the chapel, at Mass, or quietly praying the rosary. She was especially devoted to the Eucharist. Whenever there was exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, she would remain praying there by herself long after the others had departed. One of her qualities was her accessibility to the other students. Evelyn Murdoch was one of the many students who relied on Rose for help with their studies. And Evelyn remembers, "When I was going to school, I used to sit with her in the playroom. She used to help me with my reading. I was really bad at reading, and she always encouraged me to read books. She also went to Rose for advice, and she said, 'Sometimes I would feel resentment towards other girls or towards the sisters, or something someone said to me. Then Rose would talk to me. She would suggest that I pray for the person rather than feel resentment.'" In the summer months, Rose, when not doing the mending, would sit on the grassy mound in front of the school, and from there she would look out at the lake. Her happiest moments were spent sitting on the hill amidst the wild roses that grew all around, gazing across the lake to the hills, or quietly kneeling in the chapel, content to be near Jesus, whom she called her father, and Mary, her mother. Rose completely accepted her life, secure in her belief that all God sent her was best for her. She suffered from ill health as she grew older. Sometime after 1934, Rose went to the hospital where a large tumor was removed. Some years before her death, she contracted tuberculosis and would live with only half a lung. As 1949 approached, Rose grew weaker. She knew she did not have long to live, and she told Sister Frances, who was going on holiday, that she would never see her again. On Friday, August 19th, she was admitted to the hospital. Her brother Paul was with her. That evening, she asked for the sisters and the priest. She quietly passed away that evening after she received Holy Communion from Mass, which was being offered for her in the hospital chapel. The sisters were very attentive to the body of Rose as she lay in her coffin in the chapel. The sisters arranged the crippled body and placed a small bouquet of flowers on her chest. In death, as in life, her body lay awkwardly because of her infirmity. Sister Rose later remembered, "She looked like a real angel in her coffin. Sister Patricia and I put a little pillow under her head and put her in the right position because she was so crippled." She was quietly buried 2 days later in the Lajac Cemetery in 1949 at the age of 34. The cemetery was near the Lajac Residential School, which closed in 1976 and later torn down. In 1951, the cemetery where Rose Prince was buried was relocated with some other graves to about 100 meters away because a railway passage was to be constructed. When relocating the cemetery, her coffin was opened and there was a vacuum as air rushed in. Those present were able to see Rose's face in perfect condition, that is to say, incorrupted, by the 2 years in the ground. When witnesses asked to see her, the school priest and the sisters said she was transparent, that is to say, her body was still fresh, as if she was sleeping, with just a tiny little smile on her face. The bouquet of flowers on her chest was withered, but some observers maintained that a fresh rose lay in her hands. Others did not see the rose, and it was said that the rose may have been a spiritual vision seen only by some. Although all of them agreed that the entire body and the clothing were in a state of perfect preservation. The Sisters of Child Jesus that were present told the story, and word spread especially among the Carrier First Nation. Miracles have been attributed to her through visiting her grave. Mabel George, who attended the Jacques Residential School where Rose was, says praying to her is like talking to an old friend, and tells of miracles attributed to Rose. She said a young man had his body cured from a disease after his parents visited her grave. Another man was cured of cancer after his wife prayed to her for a week. And some other man was able to walk again after 3 weeks. This was when a priest mixed earth from her grave with holy water and anointed the skin covering his back and prayed for him through the intercession of Rose Prince. An hour later, he fell asleep and woke up the following morning and was able to walk again. After 60 years, her body is still incorrupt. There's an annual pilgrimage in July to the cemetery where she is buried in Le Jacques, British Columbia, Canada. The incorruption of bodies is a miracle that reflects the victory of Jesus Christ over death. Among Catholics, such bodily incorruption has a very particular meaning. The Church accepts this as a sign from God, which witnesses to a life of great holiness, that is, God might preserve from corruption the bodies of those who have kept their souls in purity and has freed them from the defilement of the flesh. Thus, these bodies are wonderfully preserved from corruption, which is a sign of the presence in this world of God's kingdom. Some saints or would-be saints have incorrupted bodies after they have died. The incorruption of the body is when the body does not decay at a normal rate. Many times, years after death, these bodies are found to be lifelike. Also reported with some incorrupted bodies is the presence of pleasant, penetrating fragrances, such as jasmine and honey. Heavenly Father, you shared so deeply with Rose Prince of the Carrier Nation your gift of serenity, and shared with her your love for your creation. Grant, through intercession, that we may share your serenity and your peace of soul, and may we too rejoice in the beauty of creation that surrounds us on every side. And finally, through intercession, we plead for this favor, with which we ask with confidence in your loving kindness. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story of Rose Prince was from the internet site roseprincecatholic.net. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at avemariaradio.net. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
This program is made possible in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, dedicated to helping grow businesses for a strong community of faith and Christian values. CatholicBusinessPages.com is your online directory resource for connecting you with businesses that have taken a strong stand to support those values that impact our lives. If Christian principles make a difference in your life, then CatholicBusinessPages.com will link you to business professionals who care about the values of our nation. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Can't listen 24/7? Go to AveMariaRadio.net and subscribe to the Ave Maria Radio podcast. Listen to your favorite Ave Maria radio programs or download them to your computer or